How do you, who's
good
the first
evening
guy
and
did
welcome
it?
To the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town and Discovery Bay Community Services District. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. If you'll all rise with me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, roll call, please.
President Steele.
Present.
Vice President Graves.
Present.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Item B, public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. At this time, I've got a couple.
Okay, perfect.
Would anybody like to come up and have a comment? Come on up, please.
I'm on that list. I mean, I'm one of those people.
Yeah, no. you wait till that.
I'll wait for this item if you don't mind. Would anybody else like to share or speak? At this time, I will close public comment and move on to item C, presentations. Staff?
We don't have any presentations at this time.
Okay. Perfect. Let's see. President's report and director's comments. Any directors? Director Madison?
I have nothing. No comments.
None.
Vice President?
None. Chair John? None.
All right. Should I give the Aviation Board? Mm-hmm. Why not? Okay, on October 11th, I attended the Aviation Advisory Committee meeting and was out at the Byron Airport. It was an informative meeting for about an hour or two. At the time, they were discussing a variety of issues out there. Just highlights here, we've got a Santa Jump coming up. They're working on a county utility analysis for an FAA grant. So they're looking at infrastructure out there and how they can bring business to the area. I thought that was a good highlight for the moment. There's some plans to consider a analysis for seaplane touch and goes on Clifton Forbay, and they've been doing ongoing hangar inspections, and it looks like so far the people that rent those are using them for airplanes. So that was the highlights. Looks like they've got some long-term 50-year plans out there for how to bring more business into the area. So anyway, it's very interesting, and I'd encourage you to attend that when they come out to the Byron Airport. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on here. Our consent calendar. Go ahead.
I'd like to request that we pull item E5. We have two speakers on that. We'll do that separate vote anyway.
Okay. E5 is pulled. All right.
I move that we approve the consent calendar as written, except for item E5.
I'll second that.
All right. Any public comment? Okay. Any final? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
I need to move E5. We think E5 now?
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
You have.
All right, I'd like to open it up. Mm-hmm. Marie Grant, please.
I understand from the minutes and hearsay. I think everybody can hear me. Do you really need a mic?
Yeah,
we're recording.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Thank you.
That the town plans to buy two signs to be used for safety purposes when maintenance has to be done on various utilities on our streets. But starting with one, that hasn't been done yet, and I think maybe it shouldn't be done for whatever, if they're $8,000 a sign or $16,000 a sign for two, I don't know. I'm just telling you that I believe there are other better and cheaper ways to go to get the same result. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Gary, please.
Hi.
Hi.
My comment's the same thing. It's just, I feel that $16,000 is just a waste of money. They have reflector signs that I've got pictures of that go for $200 a piece. They shine at night with your lights on them, just like they had lights in them. And they're $200 a piece with stands $175. I think that'd be the way to go instead of going with $16,000 a sign. There's much more things we could spend our money on.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public in attendance this evening, the item before you this evening was brought to you at the last board meeting. Because that item was for discussion purposes only, and the board took an action, we are bringing this back as more of a cleanup action for you. However, the subject is still the same. I would like to mention that in the 2 weeks subsequent to the first meeting, we did get improved pricing on it, so we were able to save some, about $1,000 plus tax. And as a public agency that serves and services 50 miles of sewer line and water lines, and when those sewer lines and water lines break in the middle of the night, in order to be able to provide adequate safety, I don't know of any public agency that runs the types of operation that we do that would not have these in their stable or in their toolbox to use. I strongly support the acquisition of at least one of them, and we are not buying two. The board direction last week was pretty straightforward, to purchase one, and so there is one on the agenda. I didn't want the public or anybody to be confused that they approved one 2 weeks ago and we're coming back with another one. This is the same one. We're just doing some cleanup, as opposed to the procedures that took place at the last meeting.
Go ahead. I was going to make a motion. I move that we approve the purchase of the sign as written in the report.
Without considering anything else.
I second the motion.
Any other public comment? Please come to the front, please.
I didn't use all my 3 minutes, so I appreciate the opportunity to speak again on this subject. It seems to me that considering something that the Department of Transportation uses and which is fully compliant with all regulations from the state and the highway department, it would behoove the board and the manager to look into other options. For instance, this Friday and Saturday, the state of California, including the Department of Transportation, is having a public sale of excess goods, which does include the big mobile signs that are solar charged, etc., for appreciably less than $8,000 each.
16
each?
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy one for $500, the reflector type with stand, and it would be easier to store, much more convenient use, more handy, if nothing else, in an emergency. I really suggest that the board might want to discuss this further.
Any other public comments?
Yeah.
All right.
I have some pictures here. If you're talking
This is out of order, Mr. President. These people have already come up and had their time at the podium. This is out of order.
That's all right. Please.
Yeah, I talked about working on the signs at night. I have some pictures of the signs. They're fluorescent. They light up. You can't miss them at nighttime.
Okay.
You know, just bring it up. They're working at night.
All right. Thank you. All right.
If I may, yeah. And I'm sorry to indulge the board for one more moment. Gary's signs are, no question, they're good quality signs. However, you can't see them around corners.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, thank you. All right, so, Director Simons?
No.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All Let's see, a new business and action items. Staff, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. A couple months back, Director Madison inquired about the possibility, and I will say it was after discussions that he and I have had with respect to the district office here at 1800 Willow Lake Road. Back when the district was formed, we didn't have any offices. Virgil Caney worked out of his home on his kitchen table. We've grown from 2 to 12 since 1998. Currently, we have 3 staff that work out of our wastewater treatment plant 1. We have 3 that work out of the 1037 Discovery Bay Boulevard site, well 1B. And we have 6 that work out of this location here where we are this evening. I would not recommend that we would house the folks that are in their staff at wastewater treatment plant. Those are our field crews. Their equipment's there, so I would recommend that they stay there, much like a public works crew would in a courtyard. But I think it would be beneficial for the board to consider to consolidate our office locations into one. I've given 4 options, and those are only 4 that are before you this evening. I'm not asking you to make a decision. I'm just asking for some possible comments, suggestions. And those 4 options are: 1, to do nothing, just leave the operations as we are right now. 2, there are 2 sites that are currently available over at the Discovery Bay Shopping Center, one at 1540 Discovery Bay Boulevard, and if I'm not mistaken, that's the location that this board, in a prior constitution of it, that's where their board meetings were taking place. I believe it's the old Bill Pharmacy building. That was renovated, and it was converted into a real estate office, which has been shut down for a couple of years now. And there is adequate space to house the 9 employees, as well as have a conference room for a closed session conference room, which would be nice as well, and to have a boardroom. The difficulty with that location, the one I struggle with there, is that building is slated to be demolished as part of the Hoffman Company's residential development plan. The second option over there is the 1520 Discovery Boulevard. We're all familiar with that parcel, with that building. That space is 5,400 square feet. It's a little bit larger than I would recommend for us. However, there's a reason why it's that way. The bank space is 2,500 square feet. It's fairly substantial. But that's the space that would become the boardroom. And without getting into the details with the owner, I've just looked at it from a gross square footage standpoint. It does also have 2,800 square feet of office space. That space was recently vacated by a business just last week, I believe. And so there were some very significant tenant improvements that were made to that site about a year ago. It's actually in very, very good condition. For both those spaces, we're being quoted, and again, this is an initial quote, starting point, if you will, $1.40 a square foot. I think we can do significantly better. If the board were to direct staff and to move into that direction, All God's Children's School has indicated an interest in leasing our space here for some of their administrative functions for the school, as well as maybe a classroom. So that would, any lease expenses that we would receive here could offset elsewhere. The space we have here, and it's hard to say that we can put a classroom in here, but as we know, in the summertime, we turn the AC down to 60 and it stays in the 80s. And in the wintertime, we try and keep it warm so staff can be productive. And we spend most of our time in our offices with space heaters at our feet trying to stay warm and be productive. But some of the things we don't get here in this building that would be nice to haves, and I understand nice to haves are just that, but one of them would be a conference room that we could have private meetings in, be it a special closed session meeting of the board, whether it just be a personnel matter. Right now, we don't have that ability to do those sorts of things. And so that is one item for consideration. The last option that I threw out there that I picked was to either lease or purchase a would be to bring in a 12 by 50 foot modular building. We would line it up right outside the back door here, parallel to the fence line with the school, where some of our parking is currently, and that would house the three staff that are currently at 1037 Discovery Bay Boulevard. It would have the benefit of us all being in one location, and from a staffing management and ability to work closer and better with the staff, I would like to have that option, whether it's in either of these three different locations. So at this point in time, all I'm looking for is board input. Is this something you would like to explore further? Are there other options you would like to explore? And so we're just open for any comments you may have.
I have questions. First of all, on the 1540, the fact that that's going to be demolished, I think totally takes it off the table for me, because we ought to put some capital improvement into it. And I know that I think the plan would be that our next move after that would be when we build our own building and we can move into that. So I have a problem with that. And I have a question about the 1520. Now, I know the bank site, and I've looked at that building, and on the left side, as you look at the side of it, is the big auditorium area. Is that not the office? Is that all on that side? Or are you talking about the office area behind the eye doctor's office?
If you recall, there was a business that opened there about a year ago, Foreclosure Radar. They took that space. If you park in the parking lot and you walk into the building, and you're walking to the bank building, let's say, if the bank was still there,
yes,
it would be the space immediately to its right.
Kind of like the southern half?
Ray, it was the last thing that you said, behind the eye doctor.
Behind the eye doctor.
Yes,
office.
Correct.
Yes.
I'm familiar with that area. That's a very nice office.
And the spaces are already, the offices are already there. They were already built in. The flooring's already in with respect to cabling. I was in it about a week ago, and the improvements are nice. With respect to the 1540, whatever costs for any improvements that go into it would be built into the lease rate. So we would essentially be paying for it. My main concern with that space is if in the event that Hoffman Company decides to move forward with that project sooner versus later.
And there's no place available.
We are limited by our boundaries to where we can meet and meet. And if that building's gone and a 1520 is rented out at least, then we might be in a position that could be difficult to get out of.
And I have one more question. Do we have any idea how much we might get from as though what there's nothing?
I spoke to the principal on Monday. I've spoken to her a number of times about this, and we have not spoken price specifically, because we didn't. I didn't want to spend a lot of effort and time on something if the board wasn't something the board wanted to pursue.
What's the square footage of this? This is the location.
About 2,200.
All right. Thank you. That's my question.
In regards to 1520, the amount that you had in here, was that accurate? You talked to Kendler about that, and that's the price, and that's available now.
Yeah, I broke out the 1520 space because it consisted actually two spaces. It's the bank space that's vacant, and it's the space that was recently leased and vacated last week. So the bank space is 2,500 square feet, and the office space is 2,800 square feet. The bank space is larger than what we need for a boardroom. But I don't know how, without getting into more specific details with them, how they can break that out and make it smaller, or if they would only lease it as a this is the space, 2,500, take it or leave it.
So if this is 22, we'd probably, you'd be comfortable with around 3,000?
Well, you got to remember, this is 2,200, but it also includes the boardroom. So if you take that, if it was just our staff was in here,
yep.
And we could make this work with right. Our staff. We didn't have a boardroom. We have to have a boardroom.
Right.
So that poses, that's our limitation here, is the space here. Like I said, if we had a separate boardroom, then we could reconfigure this space as an office space and put the conference room in, and it wouldn't necessarily be an issue.
And the trailer you said was it $20,000 to $30,000 to buy it or $1,000 to lease it?
Is that right, Phil?
Those were over Google, looking at prices online. Nothing, didn't make any phone calls or inquiries. But that was the approximate number that I thought was fair.
We'll get one more. Have you measured where that would go and would it really fit out there with the trailer? It would be clutterish.
It would fit. There's plenty of room for it lengthwise.
Yep.
My thought would be that it would push up against the fence. We might need a variance from the county to get it closer to the fence so it didn't encroach as much into the asphalt area.
Right.
But it does take out some parking. And if we're adding three new staff and taking out parking, that can be problematic as well.
Yep.
So going back to 1520, you're proposing that one area would be the office space and one area would be the boardroom. Is that how you're looking at it?
Right.
Okay, then why wouldn't it make sense to just lease a boardroom and to convert this to office space and just have the board meetings over there, and we wouldn't even have it full time, and it might affect the leasing, well, may or may not affect the leasing rate, but just have the board meeting someplace else?
That's certainly an option. One of the reasons that I didn't include it, I thought about that, Vice President Graves, is the fact that during meetings sometimes we need to retrieve things or retrieve information that we might not necessarily have. It doesn't happen all the time. I've certainly worked in environments where that's the case, where the office building is off-site from the boardroom, or is a significant distance away.
It would alleviate the problem of what happens if. In other words, we know we're not on a, Hoffman's not typically giving out long-term leases, and then all we have at risk is our boardroom meeting area, which, you know, we could modify by using, we could lease space from the church if we had to on a temporary basis to have board meetings, or I don't know if we could, but there's options anyway. And at least we're not putting the whole staff at risk of having to move back and forth in that case.
Is Huffman's green number. That place has been empty since the bank moved in 2003. And there's nobody beating the door down around it. You know, it's kind of like a property for the athletic club. I'm sure he'd like to get $1.40 a foot. I'm sure he'd take 60 or 70 cents a foot. And I agree with Kevin 100%. We would be better off taking a small piece of it, moving us in there, having the board there, and leaving us with the staff. And if something happens, if Huffman comes in and pulls his weight so you guys are out, fine, we'll move back in there.
And, you know, if you're pulling vendor meetings and that type of thing, we're still paying the lease for it. You could still use it as a conference room. Granted, it would be off-site. It would take a bit of planning for staff to be prepared to prepare a thing, but it would also be available for Veolia meetings and other meetings because you wouldn't have a room this size anymore. But
I would, if that were the option that we're going to pursue, I would make sure that we have a conference room included in this building.
Okay.
Along with the staff, so that would not necessarily be
okay.
Necessary. At the point still, you know, for other, we could, there are definitely opportunities, even
vendor luncheons, all that other kind of thing that we have.
To rent it out. People, small businesses are always looking to rent conference rooms, home-based businesses.
Yeah, I think I have to explore something like that too. Well, just a question here, if alternative use, or another, for a tenant in this space, would that include having to fence off all of our infrastructure here and making that safety issue, or?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
So since I'm not actually looking, I'm not actually asking for a motion, if I take what you're asking from Vice President Graves and those comments, I'll pursue those and come back at a later date.
One more question. You say monthly lease. Is it lease or, I mean, my understanding doesn't give, they only give month to month.
It's month to month, yes.
And therein lies the issue. When we move over there and who knows, maybe somebody comes along and offers him what he's looking for.
Sure.
In the meantime, we're the low man on the totem pole because we're going to try to get it for a deal and then we end up getting thrown out.
Are you dealing directly with the property owner?
I've only had very preliminary conversation.
But we're not going through an agent?
No.
Not going through another agent?
And I just asked him, I said, what's your lease rate on this space at this point in time?
Yeah.
And he gave me that number.
I prefer if you work directly with the owner, so that's good. Any public comment, please? Come on up, please.
Yeah, I'm Rich Keir. I really like Kevin's proposal. And, you know, when you have large turnout for your meetings here, you don't even come close to meeting the county parking requirements, and people spill over in the church parking lot. And you would never get a permit through ordinary processes to build and use this the way you're using it, which is fine. And I think over at the bank site, you would have all the parking, the access from the public, it would be great. It wouldn't impact this here, and you just have staff parking here. Makes it Good idea,
Mr. Peace. And in reading the staff report, I think that those are some nice ideas. I think you've had a good conversation here. Talking with the community, I think it's a little difficult to say that, well, we're gonna spend $450,000, $500,000 over a 3 to 5 year period leasing and moving out of here when the opportunity would arise possibly if the new building is constructed. Just looking at those options, the community felt that a modular here would be much more efficient. But I think the concept that Kevin Graves has just brought up would work very well, and you might consider the Reclamation District because they already have a boardroom. And I don't think those meeting nights would conflict here. So you wouldn't have any TI, you wouldn't have any of that. So that might be an option to consider also.
Size issue. They don't have much room for public in their meetings. I thought about that too, Bill, but I actually have been over there and met with Jeff, and it's only like two rows of chairs for the public. It wouldn't fit our public.
No, I served on that board. That's not anywhere near the size.
Okay,
good idea. I thought about that also.
Sorry.
It's okay. Public comment, please. Anybody else?
So I'll take that and move forward and come back to the board probably in the next couple of months on this.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much. Item 2, discussion of possible action regarding street pole banners.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you this evening. We brought this to you last year. We talked to you about doing some modifications to the town's holiday lighting display. One of those items that we discussed was the proposed purchase of street pole banners to be used at various times throughout the course of the year. Farron's been working on that, looking into different options, trying to get something that is more, that would be appropriate and as well as very cost effective. She's done that, and I thought it would be appropriate to bring it back to the board. But you know, we found and asked for asked for the board to move forward with allowing us to buy some street pole banners for the holiday season as well as throughout different times of the year. So, Karen.
Can I ask you a question before we go?
Go ahead.
Didn't we spend thousands last year on the entryway? We said we're going to buy because they're going to last forever, and that's why we spent a fortune on them last year?
No, board member Simon. Last year, the board voted, we brought a number of options to the board, and the board took the option to purchase some reeds, if you will, that go over the boat that's in the front of the entryways. They cover those and some swags. Vera, is that right?
Yeah.
Some swags. So the more elaborate decorations were not authorized by the board, so we did not move forward with those.
What did we spend last year?
I think it was a couple, I think it was like $2,800 if I have off the top of my head. That was what the board authorized.
More than that.
I believe it was run through.
I can find it.
I can't recall it off the top of my head, but the street pole banners, it isn't just a holiday decoration. We're bringing it up now before the holidays because it does give us opportunity to take advantage of using some holiday banners at that same time. But we're looking at having some custom banners with our new town logo, Welcome to Discovery Bay, something that would unify both sides of town. We're not just looking at doing the main entrance. We've been doing some light poles along Bixler and Point of Timber, some of the main thoroughfares on both sides of town. There's 16 poles total. There's 12 poles total for 16 banners. Three of those are doubles. We're looking at a all-in price, each banner of $282, which includes the purchase of the materials, the banner itself, the brackets that those go on to, and installation, the first year installation. After that, and switching them or taking them down after our staff is taught how to do that, the cost of removing those is very insignificant now that we have the boom. So I think that was one of the things that was discussed last year when we bought up banners, that the installation and takedown price of those was so significant. Every time we wanted to make a change, it just didn't make sense.
What's the life expectancy of them?
The brackets themselves are about 10 years. The banners are 3 if you have them out full time.
And how long are you going to have them out?
Well, that depends on, I'd like to have the town ones out year round that are, Welcome to Discovery Bay, and then rotate through either holiday, which would be, 2 to 3 months a year, probably 2. And then if we had, General Manager Rick Howard was talking about having maybe specific picture banners of things that go on in Discovery Bay, water skiing or fishing, things that would kind of be silhouetted in between our town logo banners that would be that would kind of identify what our community is about.
How many banners did you say? I don't see it in here.
There's 16 total. We're looking at doing 8 custom right now with our town logo and 8, which would be holiday for our initial start on this.
And they'd just be up and down the boulevard or on the other side anywhere? Or?
No, the first 3 poles on Discovery Bay Boulevard coming in from Highway 4, 4 additional poles down Discovery Bay Boulevard, and 6 on
Newport,
Point of Timber and Bixler.
Okay, thank you.
And the theme would just kind of tie everything together throughout the area. They have the same style in all these areas?
Yeah. You'd see the same thing on the west side of town as you would the east side of town. The same, it's all Discovery Bay. You see that in many small communities, downtown areas, just mm-hmm. unifies the areas that you're going into.
This would be just for our use, or would...
That would be... up to the board's leisure. For now, what we're presenting is for the CSD, for our logo, for representing our district.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So you're not planning on doing anything on Bixler by this down the center, or where we have our landscaping area by Safeway?
The street lights there are under different ownership than the ones that we requested with PG&E. Some of them come up right off of the highway. There were some more, I don't recall all the details of that conversation, but it was a lot easier to get our approval down Bixler than it was right on that corner. If that's a possibility and that's a location you guys would like to have one, that's something we can definitely try to coordinate.
Well, I'm just thinking that 80% of Discovery Bay is not going to see those banners. Are only going to be seen by about maybe 20 to 30% of Discovery Bay if they're down at Point of Timber and Bixler.
Well, I think that most, if you're looking, not just Point of Timber and Bixler, I'm just trying to talk about some of the main street roads. But if you're coming down Bixler from Safeway, not at the corner, but coming down Bixler when you start hitting before Lakeshore, so but kind of in the park and ride area. So everybody going into Newport by the school over there, everybody going into Lakeshore, everybody going to the lakes down the road of Bixler would see them. So pretty much everybody driving into that side of West Town, with the exception of the Regatta neighborhood, would drive by those.
And we have budgeted funds for this?
Yes.
Well, I like the idea myself.
If you turn to the third page of your agenda packet, we have some very conceptual drawings. And what we thought we would do is actually not use the seal, but use the logo and have something that said, you know, a community for all seasons, and maybe have a, like Farron said, a silhouette of a fisherman, a silhouette of a wakeboarder, a silhouette of some egrets, silhouette of a golfer, so they could be interchanged, and those would go up when the holiday displays would come down. So using something along these lines, just as ideas.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a banner on the wall that they had given us as a sample last year when we discussed this.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of along those lines. It, you know, may not look exact. It might not be a sailboat, but I mean, something
kind of like proportions, though.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Sense.
Well, agreeing with Director Madison, I think it's a good idea. I mean, a lot of communities are doing this. That doesn't mean it makes it the right thing for us, but I really do think that it's attractive. It shows pride in your community. We've spent a lot of time trying to improve the landscaping, improve the entrance, and I think it's a good idea, personally.
Any public comment? No public comment. Is there a motion or any more discussion?
To answer Director Simon's question, the board last year authorized items number 1 and 7 of the option list, and 1 was to do just the lighting that we'd done previous years, and so that was one of the items. And the seventh option was to install the wall wreath and swag, and that was new. That hadn't been done before, so that was $3,400 beyond what we'd spent the year before.
Is that the total for both of them?
No, it was $1,300 to install the lights. It's a company that comes in and does it. They store them, they put them up, they take them down, and then we've been doing that for the past couple of years. That was $1,300, and then $3,400 for the recent swags.
I would make a motion that we accept the lowest bid from Sierra Display to purchase and install street pole banners at various locations throughout Discovery Bay, and authorize staff to issue a purchase order to Sierra Display in the amount of and not to exceed $5,000.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Baron. Item G,
plus tax.
Veolia report, please.
President Steele, evening. Good morning. So, for the month of September, as you see, we continue our safety days without incident, up to over 48,000 hours without since our last recordable, which is excellent. Training last month, we participated in different training as we get into working on our lift stations, and we do fall protection. So the crew is safe. The town bought the new Genie lift. The town participated along with Veolia on the training on that. Confined space training along with the fall protection, and also the new belt press over at the plant went in operation at the end of last month, and we had training on that, and we're continuing to work out the bugs on that. On the water side, we did some minor repairs over here at Filter C. The big thing was we replaced Jockey Pump 1, which is over here in the building. It had been out for several months. The bowl on the Jockey Pump was going bad. Had to replace the bowl. And so got that reinstalled and back up and running. We had to replace some of the actuators over here on the filters. Some of the older ones were sticking, so we had to upgrade those a little, so things over here are running a lot nicer than they were. And as you're all aware, on the 14th of February, September, that Friday morning, we lost water pressure for roughly 22 minutes. But with great response, we was able to get the water back up and the pressure back up, and it was due to a PLC that's at the plant, communication PLC. There's three stations at Newport plant. There's one over in the booster pumps, there's one over at well 4, and there's also one over in the control room. Those three PLCs talk to each other, tell when the pumps kick on, when the well to kick on, and we lost communication. We had to replace a card in that, and so that's back up and running. We repaired it and replaced it with a new card, so that issue has been addressed and fixed. All wells are active. We produced a little over 136 million gallons of water last month. As winter comes in, you'll start seeing decline of water usage. We had 16 routine back T samples we have to take out. We take 4 a week. And we also had to do 6 additional due to the water pressure. We had to go out and do additional testing. All those passed. On the wastewater side, we did some minor repairs. We had to repair one of the gearboxes over at plant 1, had to remove it and had to do some seal replacements. Plant 1 also, we pulled the RAS pumps. There's some older pumps that's been there several years that hadn't been pulled. We pulled those to look at the shape, inspect them. They're still in good shape, so we reinstalled them. All active lift stations are running. Received a little over 40 million gallons of wastewater last month. On the collection side, we flushed roughly almost 3,000 lines of sewer, which puts us up to over 15,000 for the month, I mean for the year, which is almost 23%. So we're moving along, keeping on schedule. Inspected 8 manholes, 40 for the year. We had to replace a ARV, which is, if you come down Newport, you'll see these little green things sticking out of the ground. We had one of those that got stuck and broke off for whatever reason. We had to repair that, and we had a got that fixed. Our wastewater, you can see in September, we're well below our permit limits and doing well. Had a little over 261 hours of work orders and spent over 400 hours doing that. Any questions?
How's the manhole inspections going? I remember last year, major corrosion issues in one part of town.
Yeah, well, the ones we're doing this year, we're still back up in Beaver area. Okay. And Newport there. There's been a few we've turned over to Virgil and his crew. He gets them addressed, but for the most part, most of them have been in pretty good shape that we've been looking at this year.
Great. The it looks like your well problem with the conductivity is, and we're doing away with that by blending 4 and 5?
Yeah, because well 4 is now the lead pump. Well 5 comes on only if it's called for to keep up with demand, but now as we're going into winter, it'll be less demand on well 5, but yes.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Bernie, it looks like a conductivity issue is coming down. We've been consistently over our limit, but it was 2280, 2310, and it seems to be hovering right much closer to our limit of 2100. And as I recall, did we actually change the way we were testing that, or is there any reason for that?
Nope, it's just, at the end of the year, it usually runs around 2130, 2140. So we're kind of where we normally at.
Okay.
The town did go out and do a study, and we're still waiting on the results of that. But it's kind of hovering where it normally is.
Okay, so it's a seasonal thing, and yes. I'm seeing the variation, not anything we're doing.
No, but it's just when the demand
right.
of the water, you'll see it go up, and you'll see it start going back
okay.
down.
Thank you.
It correlates with the water demand?
Yes.
Okay.
It's basically. If I can add one thing to that question that Vice President Graves asked. If you remember when Virgil was here last month and he gave the update, and he said that he showed us that the numbers were really low on the EC once we turned off the water softeners. But even with water softeners on, the numbers were below the 2100. So there was a connect their disconnect. So what we're doing is there's the state requires us per our permit to do what's called a grab sample.
Right.
So we've been doing grab samples, and we just we're waiting for the lab results on the composite.
Yeah, I hope to get a hard read tomorrow coming out.
So we should have much better information.
That's what I was referring to. I think we were going to somehow change the way we gathered our samples. That was going to maybe affect the readings, correct?
Well, yeah, we usually do a grab, but this time we did a composite to go along with the grab, and we're waiting on those results and hope we get back tomorrow.
Then we can see side by side how they correlate. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing that.
Any other questions?
Negative.
Thanks for the
update.
Thanks,
Bernie.
All right. General Manager, report?
Yeah.
Bernie Manager's report, I can say. I don't see anybody in
here. Dina's back there. She's
hi, Dina.
Hi, Bernie.
That's okay. Well, now wait a minute.
Bernie, I can see this line.
Bernie, we didn't tell you to move.
I have two items to discuss, actually three to discuss. The handicap access ramp is slated to begin tomorrow, and that, as far as I know, is still on target. However, when I was in a meeting this afternoon, the contractor came by and asked me to call him. I haven't had a chance to do so that may or may not still be scheduled. So I'll let you know what happens with that as soon as I find out. The second item, which is listed as item number one, is President Steele and I had discussed the photos of board members on the district's website, and there's two ways of doing a board photo. And we don't have a consistent manner or method in which we do it. We have some pictures of the board members are taken inside, very formal, some are taken outside. Some of the other public agencies just do a group shot. And so President Steele asked me to bring this to the board for future consideration and see which you would prefer to, which direction you'd like to go.
I can use my Xbox avatar, I don't know, whatever you think. Go ahead, Mr. Simon.
Good enough for the justices for the Supreme Court, what you do with a group shot.
Just a little good labeling on the bottom of it, left to right.
Yeah,
right?
Left to right, yeah, whatever you just do as a group.
Not highest. Pretty dynamic.
I kind of like those action shots of the old board. They had a photographer here, and everyone kind of dressed up a little bit, and you know, people were smiling, and it showed a little different flair. Wasn't so staged.
I will be replacing that shot after the November election.
So whatever we do, does everybody want to have their picture? The board should have a picture on the website.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Some picture, yeah.
Okay.
So I think there's two things. You're having your individual picture with your name,
yeah,
like we have now, kind of hodgepodge, and then you know, the group shot, or here's the board shot, and all that kind of stuff.
Board action or something. Okay.
What about it?
Yeah.
Have your individual picture and a group shot.
Yep.
Which is what we have now.
You dress up a little bit.
Somebody better than my iPhone picture, but. Any public comment or suggestions we'd like to have? Anybody? Oh, yeah, quick iPad. Here, we'll just pass the camera around. I can certainly
get Stacy Chance to come in and do some good shots for us if we choose to go that route.
All right. I think we'll work on a group shot, maybe an action from the table shot, and a headshot.
I'll bring it back after
Perfect.
The election.
All right. Well, thanks for the comments.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're good. Just clarify on the website, and that should be the Communications Committee's responsibility, the website. So, not to jump out of order, you guys, but keep an eye on the website for us.
Roger.
President, Vice President Graves brought something items to my attention recently that he corrected this week as a result of that. The next item I have for you this evening is more of a status update on where we are, and to let the public know that the district is in escrow to purchase the 10 plus or minus acre site, currently known as the Discovery Bay Athletic Club. We are partnering in that deal with our neighbors to the south, the Presbyterian Church, in order to help them satisfy their future growth needs. They would be acquiring a portion of approximately 3 acres. It's the south side of the parcel, so if you turn to, I believe it is the third page of the report, there is a drawing of that, what the parcel will tentatively look like, two parcels I should say, once a lot line adjustment is in place. Staff has been working with the owner's representatives for a number of months now. It took quite some time to work out a transaction. There are three owners of that site that are family members, and so there was a lot of going back and forth with them and with us and the church. The transaction itself and the purchase and sale agreement is attached to the agenda report. It's fairly complicated and extensively detailed, but the primary, the fundamental transaction points are fairly straightforward. We're going to purchase a little over 10 acre site. The district would be acquiring just over 7 1/4 of those acres. The church would be acquiring the remainder portion of right around 3 acres. It's an all cash transaction with a 90 day escrow. Right now, we're in our due diligence. We have executed contracts with the soils engineers, and they are going to be boring to make sure that there are not any contaminants in the ground that we need to be aware of. The appraisal is currently underway. We expect to have that in probably in the next 2 weeks. And the engineering is well underway, and that's what led to the map that's attached under the drawing on page 3. At this point in time, what it might look like has not been determined. We did, at the board's direction, we did work with a local architect, Mark Lee, who's worked with the district in the past and has done these sorts of projects previously, to see, we kind of threw the kitchen sink at it to see if it would fit for our needs prior to moving it forward. That did take place, and the Community Center Committee has reviewed that. It's a very, very draft document. It's not something that would really, that I would use for purposes of providing as a conceptual what it's going to be, because he literally just threw the kitchen sink at it to see what would fit. So, and it was good to know that it did, and how it's going to eventually lay out in the future is still to be determined. We are on target for a late December escrow close. If all things go according to plan, we will be filing the notice, the CEQA notice, this week with the county. We're going to be filing a notice of exemption on that. And I believe that there are two members of the church here that are also, that may want to comment on it. But in any event, just to let the board know and for the public's information that we are well on our way to acquiring the Discovery Bay Athletic Club site for a future community center. Okay.
Steve,
do
you guys have any comments or questions? Just the more parking, the better, I guess. That's what I was looking at things and kept doing my math. Don't want to spill over too bad. Any public comment? I think I have a yellow piece here. Mr. Peace, please.
Mm-hmm. Read the staff report. I think you're moving forward, which is fine. The one piece that I didn't see in there was from close of escrow, approximately January or whatever, to whenever to build a new facility, how is the building going to be utilized, or what are you going to do with it?
That is yet to be determined. However, my staff and I are currently working on an implementation plan to keep the athletic club operating in its current configuration. We would own it and more than likely contract out that operation to an operator. That RFP has not been prepared. We're pulling together information from other communities that have done this sort of thing and have taken on athletic clubs for their own community centers and those sorts of things. So whether it be a YMCA organization, an individual boys and girls club that can run it and operate it, or Delta Valley might want to come in and operate it on our behalf. So that is where my thought process is, and I know the thought process of both the members of the community center committee, because we've had that conversation as well.
Any other comments? Yeah, the community center committee and the staff are working hard on it daily.
You didn't ask for board comments.
I asked for yours. Would you like to speak up?
Sure. As one of the original members of the community center committee, at least on this particular board, Ray goes much further back than I do, but every time we took a step forward, we made sure that the county was informed, that the county was on board, that we knew exactly what the situation was with the extra land. We've had no reports from staff or from the committee as to where the county stands on this, where Hoffman stands on this, what's happening with the 12 lots. There's been absolutely, that has not been addressed one time in all of our comments. And I'm concerned that in having conversations with people in the county, they weren't aware of everything that's going on or have not bought off on, not that they're going to be a sticky wicket, but where does the county stand on this? Where does the Department of Conservation stand on this? And where does Hoffman stand with regard to his property and the release of the funds?
When the community center committee consisted of President Steele and Director Tetro, we had a conference call in my office with the director of the department, as well as David Lind and the Hoffman Company. At that meeting, the parameters of that transaction were determined at that time on how we would follow through with that process. The county is well aware of this. I've had conversations with the director of the county, the director of the department, and I have a meeting with her and the Hoffman Company next week on this subject, on this very subject. So it is moving forward. The county is involved in the process, and we are going to be having that meeting next week.
Okay, but we're in a contract for escrow, and we don't know what we're going to get, whether we're going to get the lots, whether we're going to get the money. We don't know that for a fact. We have the mechanics.
The terms of the development agreement between the county and the Hoffman Company, going back to 1997, are that they would provide the land for a community center. However, if an alternative site was determined, all parties had to agree to that. And that's what's been taking place. That's a conversation that's taken place. So what would happen to the 12 lots? What would happen to the monies that are already in place? We can't determine, the county will not let us off the hook and let Hoffman off the hook, if you will, for the 12 lots until we have shown the county the commitment that we're serious, that we're moving forward with it, and we've got a plan in place to build the community center. So those are all a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving targets, but you're exactly correct. Those are all issues that are out there, but they're also very well spelled out in the development agreement as to how an alternative location can move forward.
So then refresh my memory, because I think we were talking about some alternative sites even way back as much as 2 years ago. Might have even been before you were on board, but... what happens to, since part of the agreement that Hoffman has with the county that benefits the town, a convoluted triangle, is that Hoffman will provide land for the community center as well as some funding, and that funding really isn't the issue, I don't think. It's more, because I think I understand that pretty clearly, but the land that he's supposed to provide, because they will not be providing, that Hoffman Land Trust Company will not be providing now, for at least the site that we're looking at, what happens to that obligation?
There are a number of options that can take place. The original condition on the Hoffman Company was that the Hoffman Company and back then the MAC would match equal funding for a $1.25 million community center to be constructed. That was where the dollar came from. in that development agreement. The parcel that was identified, as we all refer to as the 12 lots, they're still on the hook to provide us land, whether it be in the form of compensation, whether it be in the form of conveying title to us for those 12 lots, so we would own them theoretically. We could sell them. They still own them. The county still owns a lot, so we could still negotiate an agreement with Hoffman that says, we don't want the lots, but we want the value of the lots. We want the compensation of the lots to help build our facility. Or we can take the lots and we can use them as we see fit.
And who drives that bus?
County.
With our input?
Yes. It's a three-way transaction.
Because it seems to me that based on current values, perceived current values, if I may say so, that we might be better off just taking the land as opposed to trying to come up with a negotiated, with all the other negotiations going on, coming on with a negotiated amount over there. And that really is what, that was a long way around to get to that answer to that question, but that's really what I was looking for. The money's not an issue. We know that that's, and as long as we have those matching funds, that's ours to use. I thank you for that. I think that does answer my question.
So that just ends my report on this item, and I'd like to thank the board for letting us move forward in this direction. I think it'll be a great community asset once it's complete.
Yeah, good job, Rick. Thanks for moving us on that. All right, council report, please.
None, sir.
Any committee updates?
None.
Some correspondence, great. Public records requests. Any future agenda items? Go ahead.
Rick, I noticed when I was driving around the town that we got a lot of faded out street signs. Down Windward, down Cypress, you can't even see, you can't even read the streets anymore. They're that bad. So I wonder if maybe we might want to get it on the agenda tonight so we can have somebody drive by us.
You're a step ahead of us. I mean, we're one step ahead of you. We discussed this last week, and we are actually in the process of surveying some of those street signs as we speak.
And there are signs missing. Virgil's been knowing this for a while. I don't understand what's taken 2 months to get a street sign up.
Let's look at tying in our logo into those requests to the county for new signs. Yeah, it's a fire safety issue right now. All right. Any other agenda items, Mr. Madison?
I have an agenda item. I would like to look at reinstalling the service signs that were taken down when the Torvik property went in. Remember, we had the Lions Club signs and the Rotary signs and all those
out
the boulevard. So I'd like to look at. I know they've all been revitalized and been repainted, and then they're just sitting around. Like every other community that has those, I think we should find an appropriate place to put those back up.
Do we pay for those or do the groups pay for them? If I might remind you, this is not a discussion time. This is just to identify things for future agenda items. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else? Jim, is that good?
That's it for me.
Vice President?
I'm done. Thank you.
Sure. All right. With that, we will adjourn.